Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and this is it's a big week around here with the Orioles in last place and bad things and football not really being real football, and they're going to play sort of fake football in Dallas this week. But we have like a real thing here, and I lament that we lost out on World Cup. I will be all boo-hooey about that next year and all of that. And we have the Preakness, and we're always trying to keep that. But when we get a golf tournament like the one we got brewing up here this week at Caves, and we saw this on display a couple of years ago that we become a golf town. And I have to become a golf guy, even though everybody knows I'm sort of a pretend golf guy, but I did hit a really nice shot at Pontevedra during the Super Bowl in Jacksonville that made me look like a golf guy. Jimmy Roberts is here from NBC, but more than that, you know, when I hold this thing up, nobody loves our state flag more than us, right, Jimmy? I mean, you know, when we talk about Maryland people and bringing Maryland people back, I think you're sitting in College Park right now or something, right?
I'm in College Park. I'm back in town. I'm a New Yorker, but I went to school in Maryland in College Park, so I guess I'm an honorary Marylander. My sister went to school in Baltimore. She went to Johns Hopkins and she stayed. She still lives in the state, has for a long time. She probably wouldn't want me to say how long. But yeah, I love this school, and I'm very, very fond of my association with Maryland, and I'm excited to be back. This is going to be a big week.
Well, full disclosure, John Maroon, Matt Lund, and the Maroon people had me out the Caves for the PR thing. I was out there in the media tent. It was a little warm that day. And
Little.
you emceed. And I told John when it was over, I sent him a note. I'm like, it's a really lovely PR program for a guy that's been to a million press conferences for 40 years of my life, that I took a little something out of it as someone that's not the biggest golf head. I remember DeChambeau. I remember Cantlie. I remember that day. I do this crazy crab cake tour every August, so I'm always sort of a little disheveled by the time it comes. But I was out there earlier in that day, and I mean, it was just beautiful. I've had a lunch at Caves. I'm not a player to the point. I've been offered to play there, but I don't play well enough. But walking that course when I did, seeing the stands, seeing how grand it was, and then seeing we pulled it off. And now it's coming back again, and they can make it better. And just get me out there sniffing the grass being cut. And they were just putting the stands up about a month and a half ago when I met you over the delicious morning buffet there. And I thought, I want to have you on to talk about what that press conference was about and what this week is about, because it really is for the folks that aren't golf people or aren't going to go out to the valley and be a part of it, or for folks who've never been to a golf tournament are going to experience their first one this week. This is really an amazing, it brings out my Baltimore pride, Jimmy. It really does, you know?
Well, there are a couple of things going on this week, Nestor. Number one, it's the PGA Tour playoffs. It's the second tournament in the PGA Tour playoffs, which is the culmination of the entire year. And 50 players will be in the field. And that's pared down from 70, I guess, or 100. I should know that. Last week in Memphis, where there was a thrilling finish and Justin Rose won in a playoff, which was kind of reminiscent of the playoff that we had at Caves Valley in 2021. They kept on going back. JJ Spaun and who won the US Open this year, people may remember, even if they're not big golf fans, it was a viral moment. He needed a two putt on the 18th hole at Oakmont to win the US Open after really having survived a horrific start to the day. But instead of two putting, as Dan Hicks famously said, how about one? 64 feet. Really a remarkable, dramatic putt that I can't even imagine how many views it's got on YouTube at this point. But anyway, JJ Spaun yesterday, as we record this on where are we on? We're on Monday. Right? Should I say that or not?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, so JJ Spaun and Justin Rose were in a playoff at the first playoff event, which was the FedEx Championship. FedEx St. Jude Championship in Memphis, and they played the 18th hole three times, and that was reminiscent of what happened here at Caves Valley in 2021. Patrick Cantlay and Bryson DeChambeau, who's now departed for the LIV Tour that people have probably been hearing a lot about, They had a six-hole playoff, which is unheard of. And every hole seemed more dramatic than the one before it. And what made it equally, or probably even more so compelling, was that DeChambeau is the longest hitter in the game at the time. And so every hole he would hit at 30 or 40 yards past Cantlay. And Cantlay really had his work cut out for him. It was like a real heavyweight against a boxer.
I
And
thought
they
someone
went,
was going to say they're going to bring flashlights out. I mean, it was
well,
really.
you weren't the only one, I'll tell you what. But it was anyway, it was very, very dramatic. But they're back again at Caves Valley for the second of three playoff events. After this week, 30 will survive and go on to the Tour Championship at Eastlake in Atlanta.
The points are ramped up here, right? The stakes are much higher at this point. And I think that's something that I don't know as a golf novice or someone, when they said the BMW is coming here a couple of years ago, it kind of got on top of me. And I'm like, this is like we got an NFL playoff game. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a preseason friendly when soccer comes to town or something like that. When the EPL comes over and plays, this is like the real thing, and these are the best golfers in the world coming in here. And certainly, speaking to Scheffler and what's at stake here and the way he's played, which is just kind of on a tear and very hard to bet against him, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's number one golfer in the world for a good reason, because he's played better than everybody else over a long period of time. He's won four times this year, two major championships, and he's got an enormous lead in the world golf rankings. But what happens is the shorter the field gets, and this week they'll only be 50, next week they'll be 30. On any given week, any of these guys are capable of really doing extraordinary things. I mean, I would imagine that many of your listeners had never heard of J.J. Spaun before the U.S. Open, but he beat not only Scottie Scheffler, but everybody else in the field at the U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy, all the names you do know. So one of the names that really has been a fellow who has been really thought to have a lot of potential, but had yet to win a tournament, had the best round of the week this week. Cam Young, he could very easily win. Who knows who could win? I mean, anybody could win. I always say golf at the elite level is the deepest sport there is. But I want to touch on one other thing before we move on to make sure that we don't forget it. I said that this week is really about two things. It's of course about the playoffs on the PGA Tour, but there's something which I have always found to be one of the best stories in sports, and it's going on this week. The BMW Championship is for the benefit of the Evans Scholars Foundation. And the Evans Scholars Foundation was founded in 1930 by Chick Evans, who was a great amateur golfer, and he created this organization that since 1930 has sent caddies, deserving caddies, to college. Not just, sent them on their way with a check that pays for part of what they do, identifies caddies who have been committed to caddying, have been good students, and have displayed good character for, over the course of a couple of years, sends them to school with soup to nuts, the whole thing. And this week in Maryland, one of the reasons I'm here on Monday is because the Evans Scholars Foundation, 4 years ago, when the BMW Championship was here, it was announced that Maryland, the University of Maryland, would become part of the Evans Scholars Network, which meant that Evans Scholars would be going to Maryland, local kids. Well, we're back here this weekend today to cut the ribbon on the Evans Scholars House here at the University of Maryland. Every campus that participates in the Evans Scholars program has a house. It's a community where they all live and they eat and they study and they learn from one another. And it's an amazing program. The stories are just remarkable. Over the years, they've sent more than 12,000 kids to school and they've gone on to do remarkable things. And every year, the BMW Championship supports the Evans Scholars Foundation. And, one of the reasons I'm so proud to be a Terp is because Maryland has embraced this fantastic idea, and this week we celebrate it.
Jimmy Roberts is here celebrating Maryland and Baltimore and golf. I couldn't find a better guest than the MC of the PR event. But also, I met this young man that you talk about with the scholarship. He had lunch with all of us and just had it. His story alone was worth the drive into the valley that day on a hot day because it was an amazing story about a young man right here in Baltimore.
Well, they're all, I mean, I not to minimize, anybody, but they're all like that. I mean, what we're talking about is we're talking about more than 12,000 people since 1930, all of whom would have had no access to secondary education. And, you can go down the list of people who've been Evans Scholars over the years and some of the things that they've gone on to do in the military and business. In government, they have really excelled and realized their potential, and it's potential that would have been unrealized without this incredible program.
Caddies can't live without them. You got to have them if you're golfing. For you this week with caves in the story, and you were out there with me enjoying the buffet and a moist day out there as they were erecting things. They talk so much about making the course a little more difficult. First time in, you learn. But the fact that it's coming back is really a coup, a feather in our cap, a nod forward at a time when, like, Potomac would get a congressional, they would get a tournament during the Tiger era. But having this tournament, having the greatest golfers in the world come to Baltimore, I'm still very prideful. We still feel very second city around here. But to get it back and to have a course worthy of that and what they're trying to do to the course to make it like that, from a golf standpoint, a lot of work's been done, right?
Yeah, millions of dollars have been spent. And the most remarkable part of it is that I think what they realized was that, these people, these PGA Tour players, they're not like us, when it comes to playing golf. I mean, they're remarkable, remarkably skilled. And I think what they realized in 2021 was that as great a course as Caves is, and it is a spectacular course designed by Tom Fazio, one of the great designers of the modern age, it really needed some alterations if it was going to challenge the best in the world. So they ripped it up. I mean, they ripped the place up. They closed it down in 2023 and they put in, new grasses on the greens and on the fairways and irrigation. They put in a system called Precision Air, which it's a very golf wonky thing, but anybody who has a lawn can appreciate the temperature of the greens, which are the most critical part of the golf course, certainly competitive in a competitive sense. They're now temperature controlled so that when it gets, blasting hot like it does here in the summertime, they can basically turn down the thermostat on the grass from underneath. When it gets too wet, they have a device that can suck the water out of the grass because if grass gets too wet, it rots. And so it's basically like a lab experiment where they can just very, very carefully control the grass. And so it's as healthy as it can be. And that means that they can make it, they can cut the grass much, much tighter, which means that the greens will be faster. But anyway, long story short, they moved, I don't know. I should maybe I should know this. How many hundreds of thousands of tons of dirt? But they did it in 100 days. I mean, they shut Caves down, and they redid it in 100 days. And it's really remarkable what they've done. It's going to be spectacular, and I think it's going to be very, very challenging for these guys.
Well, the other thing is, it's such an exclusive place. I mean, all of my adulthood playing Caves was, Michael Jordan would fly in and play Caves. People would go up there, and it still wasn't good enough. All this money's been spent, and I would say it's one thing. Look, these are millionaires. It's a serious country club for serious people. But I would think you spend all that money. That's nice for the members and like all of that, but they do this to have more tournaments here, right? Like, the whole idea is to put this on some sort of a rotation to get to get this event. And I think that's a really, listen, I've been on the radio 35 years here. We were going to build racetracks for horses, racetracks for cars. We've built two stadiums. We've never built an arena, but we kind of fixed it up for modern concerts and whatnot. To have this kind of an event come to our community here, it is kind of a special thing. And to have to sort of fix the nicest course in town to make it even nicer, I don't think you do that just for a weekend.
Well, look, let's understand that it wasn't that it wasn't good enough, because as Buddy Marucci, also at TURP, and one of the guys who has really been at the forefront, along with Steve Fader, who's the president of Kays Valley, of kind of shepherding this redesign. It's not a redesign, it's a renovation. What they will tell you is that this was primarily done for member experience, to make it the best it could possibly be. And that's what they want, to make it the best it can possibly be. And not a lot of places are in a position to be able to do that. And kudos to the membership, because they all sacrificed their golf course and they chipped in a lot of money to do it. But it's not only to get the best players in the world to come here, it's to make this the best that it can be. And I think that there's a duality of purpose here. You want to make it the best it can be, but you also want to make it so that when the best players come, using their standard, they can also see that this is the best that it possibly can be.
Yeah, for someone like you, Jimmy, that spent so much time on golf courses and seeing the evolution of all of this over decades, literally going back to Howard Cosell. And if I had more time with you, boy, we could sit and have some coffee and talk. But for me, and I've attended, LPGA events and different events. Seeing that course and the stadium go up and the experience for the fans and seeing it on television many, many times at many courses in many places, it blends into the background, but it really sets up nicely. It was just a lovely experience to go out there, and I'm really looking forward to going back out and seeing what they've done to change things. But the way it gets erected over the course of the summer and makes this weekend special for Baltimore, I just think it's just a great source of pride that we have the tournament here this week.
Yeah, it's a great, it's a spectacular golf course that just got even more spectacular.
For you with the field and with them, I don't know that we're going to get six holes of playoffs or have to have flashlights out. Give me a little, courses for the course here. Who do you like and who do you think can win this weekend?
Well, everything starts with Scottie Scheffler, because even in a week when he didn't win, he came in second. Or actually third, because I guess J.J. Swan came in second. Scottie Scheffler, I mentioned Cam Young, who was a guy who had played 162 events. I think he was the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year a few years ago, and everybody thought he was going to be the next big thing, but he has not been able to get a win, and he finally got one last week, the week before last, North Carolina, the final event of the regular season. He'd be somebody to watch. But at this point in the season, everybody is the person to watch. You've got 50 of the best. Rory McIlroy will be in town. Just pick your poison. They're all here. And I would just say one thing. If you're not a big golf fan, if you're not a big golf fan, the chances are you've heard of Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, and players like that, maybe Xander Schauffele, somebody like that. He won two major championships last year. But, and I said this before, golf at the elite level is the deepest sport there is. On any given week on the PGA Tour, you could have somebody who's ranked 200th in the world win an event. There was a famous incident a few years, it's more than a few years ago, a guy named Ben Curtis won the British Open. Ben Curtis, I think, was ranked, I'm going to get this wrong, I think it was like 360th in the world. These guys are really, really good, and the fields are really, really deep, and they're really, really good. So don't be surprised if somebody you don't know, walks across the finish line. I said it before. Who that isn't a big golf fan had heard of J.J. Spahn before he won the U.S. Open?
Well, I mentioned how beautiful it is when they put the stadium track in, but I would say to anybody that If you've ever hit a golf ball and you enjoy playing, you enjoy a walk in the weather this week, 85, 86 sunny, 88 sunny, gonna be a little moist, a little warm, but sunny
Always
and
is.
lovely. I would say if you've never been and have never seen a pro hit like this, and you've gone out and seen Cal Ripken play or Ray Lewis or Lamar Jackson, or you've even been out at practice where you see the speed or the size, or been down on the court for a basketball game in the NBA where you see all of this. There was a point for me, and I've been in the media 40 years, hockey rinks, all of this stuff. You were at Lake Placid. My God, I got to have you back on. I walked out onto that course 4 years ago, and I got out. And I saw a pro take a shot. And I'm not a golf head by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm thinking if I'm a player at Mountain Branch or somewhere here just locally, there's somebody in my club that's the best in my club and they can
Yeah.
hit the hell out of the ball. And you've seen them and you sort of like, hey, that guy can play, that girl can play, whatever it is, the thing you would say around your club. And then you go out and you're just walking. And I remember that weekend 4 years ago, the marvel was people taking their kids out there earlier in the week on Thursday, Friday, before it even really gets crowded. And it really didn't get all that crowded on Sunday that you couldn't move around and get really close to the best players in the world. When you're 15 feet away from a tee shot on pick a hole, any hole where you can get a little bit of space and hang out and see how these guys hit the ball, it's marvelous. I mean, it's a different thing than television. It's like seeing a horse in person. It really is.
Now, they're really remarkably skilled. I often say that the difference between the best player at your club and the pro isn't a fraction of the difference between the pro at your club and a PGA Tour pro. They're so next level remarkable when it comes to the game. It's just, especially, and if you play the game, you can perhaps appreciate it when you see these people, how skilled they are. It's really extraordinary.
Well, look, I'm not great at kissing, the tails of all of my guests, but I would say you're a pro's pro and you took some time today, and I'm very, very appreciative. Man, I'd love to talk Olympics. I'd love to talk Roland Garros. I mean, Notre Dame. You've just done so many things. I'm very appreciative that when I went up and said, hey, give me a little bit on golf this week, that I know that this the scholarship's important. Yeah, I know the week's important. I know this is really important to our community here and everything that's happened here. I want to shine some light on it this week and get off the last place baseball and the preseason football as well. But this is a big event, and I'm appreciating your time, Jimmy.
Well, it's good to be with you, Nestor. And, I'll just leave you with the most important thing I could say today. Fear the turtle.
Go Terps. I knew he was going to get it. Maryland, we're all behind you. See, I know how to do
All
all of
right.
that. I mean, I'm an old schooler around here. I go back to lefty. Well, I know, hell, I don't know. The BMW's in town. Jimmy Roberts is also going to be in town and out of town, but not like working too much. Maybe you can have a lemonade and watch a six-hole playoff on Sunday night like the rest of us. I will be out, courtesy of our friends at Curio Wellness. They're having me as their guest, so I'm actually going to be able to sit out there, sip tea in the parlor, have a good time. We are doing our 27th anniversary all month long. We're eating delicious foods every single day. The hashtag is tastiness. And of course, we're back on the Crab Cake Tour next week. Five shows in a row, all of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving out all sorts of things all month long, including no indigestion because we're only eating the really, really good stuff this month. It's my favorite stuff. It's our 27th anniversary. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.